Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Is Josh Giddey a top 20 point guard in the NBA? Hoopsite believes so. We're going to talk about that list where Josh Giddey landed at 15th on the best point guards in the NBA list. We're also going to talk about the Bulls and their stance on Patrick Williams and how they're not going to play him based just off his contract. He's going to have to bring more than that. And then lastly, what will Modest Bouzilis' role be next season? We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And Hoopsite came out with a top 20 point guard list, top 26 point guard list from the 2025-26 season. And of course, the Bulls have two players listed on that list. I believe Trey Jones, maybe it may have been Tyus Jones. Got to correct myself on that one. But one thing is for certain is that the Chicago Bulls starting point guard Josh Giddey did land in the top 15 of that list. And the question is Josh Giddey legitimately one of the best point guards in the NBA, and that's part of the reason why you hear things like his camp is looking for the contract. Of course, SGA was named as number one on that list. Luka Doncic was named at number two. Jalen Brunson came in at number three. You have Cade Cunningham in there at number four. Steph still at number five. Shout out to Steph still putting up big numbers. You got Trae Young coming in at number six. James Harden at number seven. 8 is Ja Morant. 9 is De'Aaron Fox. Then you get Tyrese Maxey to round out the top 10 point guards in the NBA list. And then you get all the way down to number 15. That's where Josh Giddey sits. Josh Giddey sits right behind LaMelo Ball, but ahead of Peyton Pritchard when it comes down to it. He's also ahead of point guards like Fred VanVleet, Jalen Suggs, who, you know, that's part of the contract negotiations there. Even got ranked higher than Kyrie Irving. I don't know how much the injury and stuff played a part into that, but that's where Josh Giddey ranked, firmly there at number 15 out of the top 26 point guards. And the 26 is such a weird number to do. Either do 20, 25, or just do all 30. Like, there's 30 starting point guards in the league. Just do 30. But with that said, they talk about Josh Giddey and the career highs that he set behind the arc last year, things like that. One of the things that they also said that after a down final season in Oklahoma City, Australian point guard Josh Giddey bounced back nicely in Chicago, completing the season as one of just 3 players to average 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists per game. Along with Nikola Jokic is one of the players that were also able to do that. Also, they did say this as well. Giddey is one of the most unique floor generals in the NBA today, one who could be a brilliant playmaker at times and rebounds like a big man. If his shooting remains at the level he hit last season, Giddey could start to rise up this list in coming years. And yeah, I mean, Josh Giddey, the way that he played last season, as far as, you know, to end the season, the fact that his shooting was the best shooting numbers of his career as well, as far as from 3-point range. We've talked about how he shot 38% on catch and shoots and how that just makes him more of a viable option to be guarded when it comes down to it, as well when he's off the ball. But the question about it, and this is one of the things that I did want to find a way to talk about. So great that this list, I'm going to use this list to kind of circumvent and have a different conversation as well. There's been this thought process and this narrative that I've seen from anti-Josh Giddey people that say that Josh Giddey isn't a good passer in the half court. And that couldn't be further away from the truth, right? Like, Don't get me wrong. And Josh Giddey has things you can absolutely criticize in his game. But and I don't think people realize how much it actually hurts whatever argument they're trying to make when you say stupid shit. Like just to be frank, when you say stuff that's just stupid, it really makes it hard to even communicate when you say stupid shit. Like you can say like there are legitimate criticisms about Josh Giddey's game. Talk about the pick and roll defense. You can talk about defense out on the perimeter. You can talk about, even some of his catch and shooting opportunities, how he moves sometimes when he doesn't have the ball, how he kind of goes into the corner. There's legitimate criticisms that you can make. But when you say stupid shit, it therefore makes you stupid. And it makes the conversation that you're trying to have stupid. Like I get it that the Bulls play a fast-paced style. Josh Giddey's ability to create and start start the fast break with rebounding and also finish it with his passing or even sometimes when he gets to the rim. Josh Giddey, out of the turnovers that he averaged last year, which were high, but they were in line with primary ball handlers on teams, most of those came in transition. Josh Giddey's turnover ratio goes considerably down in the half court, while his assist ratio stays relatively the same. Josh Giddey last season created 17.5 points off assists last year. He's one of the highest players to do that, right? And when you look at what he also generated with points scored, he accounted for about 35-ish% of the Chicago Bulls offense. But take just even looking at the half court aspect of that, half court, over half his points, nine were the points he generated off assist were in the half court. Y'all, it's fine to have a theory. It's fine to have to want to have a point and ask a question. Hey, is Josh Giddey only good as a point guard in transition? And then go and actually research it. But it seems like people do half-assed research and then look at something or just say, oh, well, he's only good because the Bulls play such a fast pace during transition. And then don't go and research it. And then the parrots that are on social media take what somebody else says, further don't do any research, and then it just becomes an echo chamber. Like, again, not to say that Josh Giddey doesn't have things that he absolutely needs to work on because they are there. We've been clear on that. We've established that. But to try to say that Josh Giddey is only a good passer in transition and not in the half court, I think rather than just want to try to find an angle to fight on, like go and watch the games for one. That's always the big one, is go and actually watch the games. Second to that, there are so many free analytics sites where even if you have a theory or you have a feeling, you can back it up with facts. Like just to further highlight what I'm talking about here, most of Josh Giddey's assists last year went to Nikola Vucevic. So even when people were saying that early in the season, Nikola Vucevic was cooking, you know, one of the reasons why Vuce was able to be so much more consistent last year is because he had a point guard operating the actual offense more times than not. Most of Josh Giddey's assists went to Nikola Vucevic. 134 of them went to Nikola Vucevic. When you look at even a lot of Kobe's assists went to Nikola Vucevic and some to Patrick Williams, which is crazy enough, right? So when you break it down, right, when you look at the biggest weight to Josh Giddey's assist, we just talked about it. The most of them went to Nikola Vucevic, who definitely is a half-court player. Did you see Nikola Vucevic running in transition a lot? He can't do it. Y'all can't have it both ways. You can't talk about how Nikola Vucevic doesn't fit this style of offense and then overlook one of the reasons he was able to be effective in this team, and it was outside the style of offense. It was Nikola Vucevic. The second most of Josh Giddey's assists went to Zach LaVine. Now, that could be 50-50. I'd have to break down exactly where Zach LaVine scored most of his points. Matis Muzelis, the third most player, that he was only two assists more than Ayo Dosunmu. I overlooked. The second most actually was Kobe White at 56, then Zach LaVine after that. Just think about it. For example, the assist that he had to the second and third players, Kobe White and Zach LaVine, put those combined, it still doesn't average what the amount of assists he got with Nikola Vucevic. And if you add in the other centers that played on this roster, Josh Giddey's assist to Zach Collins and assist to Jalen Smith and Nikola Vucevic, he was responsible for getting the big man involved in the offense. That is why having a rim runner and a lob threat on the offensive side of the ball and somebody who can run in transition would unlock even more of Josh Giddey, because guess what? Josh Giddey is an actual point guard. He runs the offense, and big part of that is getting your big man involved. Nonetheless, just to get back to this, right? Is Josh Giddey a top 15 point guard in this league? By the definition of point guard, yes, I would think that. Now, if you take it outside of that and just encompass everything, because not a lot of true point guards in the league, Josh Giddey has to be consistent in the things that we saw him do at the end of the season. Not necessarily the numbers, but the ways that we saw him do it. Hey, be a better catch and shoot player. Attack off the dribble. Stop settling for floaters. Get to the rim a little bit more. Try to draw fouls. Those type of things. That's where Josh Giddey needs to improve at to continually move up that list of best point guards in the NBA. And can he do it? Yes. Will he do it here? That's what him, that's what his agent. Hell, I think even that's what the Chicago Bulls are hoping for, that he continues to do it. That is why they just want to see more and give him a reasonable contract. And if he excels at that, that contract, the max contract is going to be there for him in 2 or 3 years, whatever it ends up working out. So we'll see what happens there. But the question, to get back into it, I'm sorry, I got on a bit of a tangent because some of y'all be saying some stupid stuff. But to get back on that, we will see, Josh Giddey and his growth as a point guard next season. And I do think he's in the system that is best suited to the skill set that he has. And that's an important part of the game as well. So you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. But one thing's for certain, Patrick Williams is going to find himself in an actual battle for minutes next year. This one comes from Bleacher Nation, which great articles over there, written by Elias Schuster. I really like the way Elias Schuster writes. But he talks about Patrick Williams and the situation that Patrick Williams is in, saying this: the Bulls are not going to force the issue with Williams and continue to uplift him amid subpar results. As frustrating as it is that they put themselves in this situation in the first place, I cannot help but respect the mindset. The Bulls have too many other young pieces to evaluate and develop to waste time waiting for Williams to come into his own, whether he ramps up his aggressiveness and runs.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. With his opportunity in the second unit, or he continues to slip further down the totem pole, is entirely up to him. So, there have been a lot of people that have said things like, oh, the Bulls are going to play Patrick Williams because they're paying him $18 million. And the fact of the matter is that you have younger players that are reasonable contracts that you got to pay to. And my hope has always been that the Bulls judge what they're going to do based off of who's bringing it the most, who is actually giving them the best chance to win. If that's P. Will, great, it's P. Will. But it's music to my ears to hear that the Bulls are no longer just gifting things to P. Will, right? For how many years in a row did we see P. Will lose his starting position by the end of the year? We all knew, and Billy Donovan even said it at times, the goal was to get him back into the starting lineup. And then no matter how weak that season finished, is that we went back and knew at the start of the year, P. Will was going to be right back to being the starting power forward going into another season. It seems like the Bulls are finally ready to move off of that mindset and truly put it on P. Will to say, if you bring it, the minutes are here. If Julian and Dalen are bringing it ahead of you, those minutes aren't going to be there for you. If Noah Essengay comes into camp and he looks more ready than you in certain areas, those opportunities may not be there for you. It's time to take the kid gloves off. Yes, you made a mistake in drafting P. Will 4th overall. You further compounded that mistake by giving him a $90 million contract. But your mistake should not determine your future if you don't allow to, meaning that the Bulls have to be willing to do what other teams have done in the league, and that is eat the contract. It is what it is. If other players, and I keep wanting to circle this around, if other players are bringing it more, those players get to play ahead of a player like P. Will, to fuck the contract, to be quite frank, right? And so hearing that, it's good. Now, how can P. Will help this team? By being a 3-and-D player. And I like that Elias Schuster pointed off also embracing your role coming off the bench. One thing about P. Will that you can say is he's going to score those 9.5 points regardless of where he's at. And if you can get a consistent 9.5 points with solid defense coming off your bench, that's what a lot of people look at as you, that is your prototypical 3-and-D bench role. Now, it would suck that if you're paying $90 million for that, but if he's the one that's offering the best look at that, play him. But I tell you what, you have players like Dalen Terry. You have players like Julian Phillips. You have players now like Noah Essengay that should be that eventually you may have to prioritize playing those younger players and those raw players. Julian Phillips is headed into year three. Year one ended early in injury. Year two, by the finish of that, he was getting off the bench before P. Will. So, you know, hopefully those things point to that. Dalen Terry is coming off one of his best seasons where he looked like an actual NBA player. Is he ready to do more for you? P. Will, hearing that everything is on P. Will is music to my ears. And I know I said that a little bit earlier because P. Will is just in a place where he's been afforded too much. And for the people that are hearing this and getting ready to say or thinking in their head or getting ready to type, well, DeMar and Zach, I don't want a player that only can step up when nobody else is around. Modest Buzelis still had Vooch playing at a high level. Josh Giddey was turning it up. Kobe White was still there. And guess what? He still came in and found a way to impact the game more right away than what P. Will was. So I don't want to hear that you could only grow if you don't have any other players taking shots, even taking the majority of shots. Hell, Cooper Flagg's going to a team with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving on it. Now Kyrie's going to be down at the time. Do you think they're looking at that and saying, oh, we got to get rid of AD and Kyrie so we can get Coop more shots? No. You got to learn to play within a team function. Now, I will say there were some times where it's like, all right, well, Billy Donovan run more for P. Will. It doesn't have to run a lot, run more. But you got to also question yourself on why didn't he get those opportunities run for him? Was it because of his lack of aggression? Was it because of his lack of desire to be great? Who's to say that it wasn't on him where Billy Donovan didn't feel more comfortable running more plays for Patrick Williams? So, you know, like I said, hearing this thing, hearing that the Bulls are not at the place right now where P. Will is just going to be gifted things, that's the right call for me. And it's up to players. Well, he's not getting that starting position from Modest Buzelis. That's clear. That's not going to be there for him. That position is now Modest. Modest is now the captain of the power forward position. So that means that you can get rotational minutes because your ability to play small forward and power forward. You can maybe compete for that starting small forward position. I don't know how successful you're going to be at that. But, yeah, I want P. Will to come in to this season and say, hey, I'm about to come in here and I'm about to be the starting small forward next to Modest Buzelis. I would love for that mindset to be P. Will's mindset. But, unfortunately, I would bet more on P. Will's mindset right now being, all right, you know, Billy Donovan got 15 minutes for me off the bench. I'll see what I can do with that. Whereas you got guys like Noah Essengay who's literally coming in here and I guarantee you Noah Essengay is feeling like, all right, I'm about to win the starting position. He's probably not under Billy Donovan, but I guarantee you that that's the mindset that he has. So when you have players like Julian Phillips, you have players like Dalen Terry, you have players like even you traded for a player like Isaac Okoro, right? All these players are starting now to put a position where P. Will is not just going to come into camp and things are just going to be peachy for you. You got to come in here and want it. And if he does, great. And then keep it up once if you do get it. But you know, the problem is that I don't think anybody's going to look at this and hear this and think, oh, yeah, P. Will is about to own this position. Because that's just not who P. Will has been. That's not what P. Will has shown consistently. And thus, how can you trust it? How can you expect it from him when he hasn't shown it to you? And that's just the thing. So, once again, to wrap this segment up, hearing that the Bulls at this point are basically putting it all on P. Will. Nothing is gifted. Everything has to be earned for P. Will in this year coming into training camp. And like I said, if we hear that he earned it and then we end up seeing it, great. If not, it's a bit of a struggle there. But all right, let's get into the last topic for today, man. This one's about Modest Buzelis. The question that we have here is, what is Modest Buzelis' role going to be next year, right? We talked about the article from Jeremy Wu from ESPN where he listed Modest Muzelis as the fourth player, the most exciting to watch sophomore coming into next year. And then Pippen Ain't Easy over there was an article that picked up on that storyline and also said this. Muzelis is expected to take on more of a playmaking load this year and will operate with the ball in his hands far more than he did as a rookie. Head coach Billy Donovan hopes to play him with even more pace than last year when the Bulls finished second in the league in that stat. Muzelis' physical gifts, high IQ, and improving ball skills lend themselves ideally to that strategy. What is Modest Muzelis' role going to be next year? Is it going to be, like you guys know, me and Pat, the designer of Locked On Bulls, we kind of differ on how we see Modest going next season. I don't think Modest is all of a sudden going to become some high usage player. I do think he's going to definitely get more shots, probably upwards of, instead of the 10.7, maybe more like the 13 shots per game, 14 shots per game. But outside of just the shots, is Modest going to have an opportunity to do more of the playmaking? Modest was labeled as one of your more modern, and the way that things are trending, point forwards. And we saw a little bit of that towards the end of the season where Billy Donovan started resting players in and out of games and stuff like that and got more experimental in halves. We saw a little, very small glimpse of it. The question now is that how much has he worked on that and how much more trust has he earned from Billy Donovan to have more opportunities to do that? I always like to go back to Greg Popovich and how he talked about developing Kawhi. He talked about first, you know, the first season, we're laying the foundation. The second season, now we want to see what you do more in isolation. By the halfway through that second season, okay, let's see what you can do now at running a play for me. Let's get you to run a half court play, right? Those type of things. Does Billy Donovan and this coaching staff have that type of plan for Modest to where they're looking at what he can do and they're saying, all right, last season everything was either at the rim or at the 3-point line, but we saw a little bit of this, right? So let's let him run. But when Kobe and Trey Jones are on the floor, let's give a couple possessions with Modest Muzelis is going to run the offense and have those guys, because they're both really solid shooters, play off of that, right? And I think that's what you want to see. I know I've talked a lot about Bulls fans who like to see Modest as who they ultimately see him becoming. They view him already as who they see him becoming and kind of miss where he is right now and what he needs to do to get there. And I think that's one of the ways that he can definitely get there, is that you have to put more responsibility on him, but you're not going to just throw it all on him at once. So is it going to be that this is a season where we see Modest maybe get to do more scoring in isolation? Is it going to be that we get to see more actual plays ran for him and more actions ran for him, maybe in the mid-range, maybe at the rim? Or is it going to be one of those things where we see him get to operate an offense and run and do some more point forward things? You know, I think Modest's role is going to be dependent upon not only how he comes into training camp, how he starts the season, but also the personnel that he plays best with. Because we don't have a lot of traditional point guards, but if you get him to be able to be more of a hub, not a hub yet, but more of a hub at times, I think that does lend itself to you developing those point forward type skill sets that he has. So, you know, that's just something we're looking out for, something that we're watching and monitoring. And, you know, we'll see how it goes over the course of the season for Modest, of course. But I want to hear from you guys. What role do you think, as far as in the actual offense, in the actual team, not just starting, we know he's going to be a starter, but what role would you like to see Modest Muzelis have? And what's some of the skill set you would like to see him start rounding out going into next year? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything basketball related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.